The true crime genre is filled with countless cases of unsolved homicides and disappearances that have disrupted the lives of real people around the world. For these families, their absence leaves a void that is indescribable. But there is an entire other side of the true crime world. They are the victims who have been robbed in a different way. They are the unidentified. Whether they die of natural causes or if they're murdered, some may have no family or friends, not a single person to claim them. Others may be estranged from their family. Today we're going to take a look at one of these unidentified victims, a young woman whose life was stolen from her at the hands of a sadistic killer, and who, despite 29 years having passed since the discovery of her body and 27 after the arrest of her killer, remains nameless. Her story leads us down a path of the arrest of a prolific serial killer, an examination of how our society views certain victims, and even a comparison to an obscure and mysterious news broadcast. You're listening to episode 42 of 1 Minute and 43 Seconds, a true unsolved mysteries podcast. And this is the story of the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe. It was Tuesday, May 24th, 1994, south side of Chicago, Woodlawn to be exact. It was in an alley behind the 4800 block of South Champlain Avenue that the body of a young black woman was discovered. She was wearing a torn top, ripped panties, and one sock. And to make matters all the more grim, authorities determined that she had been raped and strangled before she was ultimately discarded by someone who disrespected her and violated her in the worst possible way. That person was Gregory Klepper, convicted murderer and rapist and certified scumbag. As of today, Klepper has been incarcerated for 27 years, making somewhat of a dent in his 80-year sentence. He was charged with the murder of 14 different women who he was alleged to have strangled on the south side of Chicago between 1991 and 1994. He was said to specifically target drug addicts and prostitutes, who he killed after they became angry that he refused to pay them for their services. But while this sicko has been caught, convicted, and has had his freedom taken away, he still has his life and his name, unlike his only unidentified victim, who remains so today, the young woman in the alleyway. Police estimated the woman's age to be approximately 18 to 22. She was described as a black female with brown eyes, about 5'1", and 120 pounds. Her hair fell just above her collarbone and was tied back with a black ribbon. Her ears were pierced, but she was not wearing any jewelry at the time she was discovered. Her teeth were well taken care of, which indicates that she had been to a dentist and had most likely been cared for by a parent or guardian. Perhaps most heartbreaking, authorities believe that the young Jane Doe had given birth at least once due to stretch marks found on her stomach, meaning there's a child out there who has been left without a mother. Gregory Klepper, who terrorized the south side of Chicago for a few years before his arrest in 1996, told investigators that he picked up the young woman at the intersection of 63rd Street and Kimbark Avenue, about 2.5 miles south from where her body was eventually discovered. He told the police that the woman was working as a prostitute at the time and confessed that he killed her. Police, however, dispute his claims that she was a sex worker and theorized it was possible that she was simply offered a ride and abducted. Police went around the area where the Jane Doe was found and where Klepper said he had picked her up, but no one recognized her picture. Additionally, running her fingerprints through the database returned no results. Police also circulated her photo and description to various media outlets, and still, no one has ever come forward to say they know who she is. It wasn't until much later that the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe story got a bit more attention, all due to a comparison made by an armchair investigator to a strange television broadcast that was made in 1989. So what does a TV broadcast from 5 years prior to her death have to do with the Jane Doe? Let's talk about Joanna Lopez. I covered the mysterious and obscure story of Joanna Lopez in episode 25 of this podcast if you're interested in digging further into it. But I'll give a summary of the case here as well. And let me tell you, it's not your typical story of a missing person. This mystery is far more unique. Do you remember after a certain hour back in the day when TV stations would, quote, sign off for the evening, oftentimes replacing television shows with colored bars until the first newscasters greeted viewers the next morning? On January 14th, 1989, the WMAQ station in Chicago, an affiliate of NBC, was airing their regularly scheduled programming. The TV station concluded their broadcast with several public service announcements, followed by the national anthem and a missing persons poster. But there was something very unnerving about the missing persons poster that was broadcast on this particular night. The first thing that stood out as odd about this poster was the photo that accompanied the name, Joanna Lopez, and the phone number, scrawled in white across the screen. The image was of such poor quality, it's near impossible to identify any distinguishing characteristics about the person in the photo. If you're able to right now, go ahead and pause this and Google Joanna Lopez, and you'll see what I mean. The second weird thing is the obvious lack of important information that you would typically hope for in a missing persons report. No age listed for Joanna Lopez, no description of her, and no circumstances surrounding her disappearance, just a name and a photo. The eeriness is further exacerbated by the fact that the missing persons poster for Joanna Lopez remained on screen all night until the channel resumed broadcasting the next morning. 2 years later, in 1991, the same image was broadcast on the same station with the same lack of information and the same poor quality image. Although this time around, it was ever so slightly touched up. And notably different this time around, the image only displayed for 10 seconds before changing to colored bars until the next morning. This obscure situation garnered more attention when the Museum of Classic Chicago Television, who routinely upload historical TV broadcasts to their YouTube channel, posted the broadcast featuring Joanna Lopez in early 2015. The peculiar overexposed photo, the lack of information, and the rebroadcasting of the same poster twice understandably intrigued online sleuths. Furthermore, there is no record of Joanna Lopez, who she was, if she was found, or that anyone by her name was even missing. The only reference to Joanna Lopez exists from these two news broadcasts. As I said in my prior episode about Joanna, it's a mystery within a mystery. The phone number listed on Joanna's missing poster was discovered in a regional directory for rape prevention and treatment resources from 1979. It was listed as belonging to the youth division of the Chicago Police Department, which makes sense. The number is no longer valid today. In 2022, a post was made on the subreddit for Joanna Lopez. The author of the post stated that WMAQ was contacted about the Joanna Lopez broadcast. A representative allegedly confirmed that the information on Joanna was provided by an anonymous source, who stated that they would, quote, call back later, but never did. Despite this, it's not clear why the station aired her poster again in 1991, meaning it could well have been a glitch. The connection between the unclear circumstances surrounding Joanna Lopez and the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe comes from one of these online sleuths, who I have to say are some of my favorite people. 2 years ago, a Reddit user by the name of Proud Evening Star posted the following comment on a thread about Joanna Lopez. Quote, "Came across this post late last night, and it creeped me out so much that I couldn't sleep for a while. It is really so sad to think that a person could slip through the cracks like that and seemingly vanish altogether. I've been scouring the Doe Network for unidentified Jane Does in and around Chicago all morning, and the only possible case I've found is from 1994, here." End quote. The user then links to a page on the DOE Network, a nonprofit organization of volunteers who work with law enforcement to connect missing persons with John and Jane Does. The page is a profile of the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe that we previously discussed. Crime was rife in Chicago in the late 1980s. In 1989, there were nearly 24,000 missing youths, and in 1991, the number had reached nearly 25,000. Furthermore, in the United States, approximately 4,400 unidentified bodies are discovered each year, 1,000 of them remaining unidentified after a year passes. This is according to the Unidentified Persons Systems, also known as NAMIS. Because of these statistics and the sheer lack of information about Joanna Lopez, I have a hard time saying that the case of Joanna Lopez is related to that of the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe. As far as I can tell, the only similarity between the two is the general time frame that the two met their fate, assuming 1989 is when Joanna Lopez went missing. And some have speculated that that may not even be the case. And the fact that there is little to no information about either victim is another thing that connects them. While some people believe Joanna Lopez was just another one of the many missing Chicago youths, and that she was simply reported missing by an acquaintance or someone who didn't know very much about her, other people believe she didn't exist at all. A request for information about her turned back nothing at all. Some have put forth the theory that it's possible the poster for Joanna Lopez was simply a placeholder, i.e. not a real missing person, but a template, and that it was accidentally aired, both in 1989 and 1991, by mistake. Although that doesn't really explain the station's assertion that the information was provided by an anonymous caller. As more time passes since she was discovered in that alley on the south side of Chicago in 1994, the less likely it is that she'll ever get her name back. This is tragic within itself, but although the chances aren't high, it isn't impossible. Whether or not she was working as a prostitute, as her alleged killer claims, she was a victim and a human being. And she deserved a lot more than to be discarded like trash. Anyone with information on the 1994 Chicago Jane Doe can contact the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office at 312-997-4500. For sources and additional reading, please visit our website at 143mysteries.com. Follow us on Instagram at 143mysteries. You can also catch us on Twitter at 143podcast. And finally, check us out on YouTube at 143mysteries. Thank you for listening and taking a little time out of your day to learn about a victim who was unfortunately largely otherwise forgotten. One minute and 43 seconds is dedicated to my number one fan. Thanks, Dad. I love you and I miss you. This podcast has been approved by Skipper the Cat. Right, Skippy?